1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. When you find your place, please stand with me as we read God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we're going to read the first five verses. 1 Corinthians 2, verses number 1 through 5. If I ask the question by showing of hands, I won't do this, you don't have to raise your hand, but if I ask this question, with the time that you have left on this earth, how many of us would like to make a difference in the world for the glory of God? I think that probably all of us would raise our hand and say, I want to use my time, what time I have left, to make a difference. And if you're here today, you have you're obviously here today. But if you have God's Spirit in your heart, that there's that desire to please God. You have that desire that you want to make a difference in this world. If you don't have that desire, then there's something wrong spiritually. And we've lost something. We've missed something along the way. And so I want to help you this morning and look at this idea of what makes a difference. What is it that makes a difference? If we want to make a difference, what do we need to make a difference? Look with me in 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 1. Paul says, "And I, brethren," he's speaking to the church. He's speaking to brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Now get this, verse number 5, "that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We pray that you would bless us. Bless your Word in our hearts. God, bring it to fruition. And I pray that you would wake us up. Lord, we're living in a time when it's in a time of apostasy. It's a time when men are lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. And Lord, we need to wake up as the church, and we need to understand that time is short. Lord, would you put that impression upon our hearts that time is short, and we need to redeem the time. And we don't have much to offer. We know that. We're not able to save, and we're not able to change the hearts of men, but Lord, we can make a difference, and through the grace of God you give us, we can make a difference. Lord, would you burden our hearts this morning? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. What makes a difference? As I preach, I'd like you to think about people that you come in contact with in your everyday life, wherever you go, wherever you are, whether that's in maybe a school, or maybe a work, maybe a factory, maybe a job, or maybe you are in ministry. And what makes a difference in their lives? What is going to really reach the heart? Now, we understand that we can't reach the heart. You and I cannot reach people's hearts. We can only reach their eyes and their ears. By our words, by our actions. But then God takes that and He can reach the heart. And He can do things that we cannot do. But we have to be able and willing and active in His work, in His ministry. What makes a difference? I just wanted to show you out of these verses. These are the verses that God used to call me to preach when I was 18 years old. That was That was a long time ago. And I thought that I had it all together. I thought I was all that and a bag of chips, you know, and I knew everything there was to know. And when I went to Bible college, I realized that there was a lot I didn't know. But then I came out of Bible college, and I thought I knew everything all over again. And I thought I had, the great depths of wisdom all stored up here. And then I realized I didn't know anything. And I still realize that today. But I'm learning and I'm growing. And I realize here lately, God's been impressing this upon my heart, that time is short. We don't have much time. And I'm looking at a church. As I look at you, I see a lot of young people. And praise the Lord that you have youth in your church. And there's energy here through the youth of the church. But you realize that energy alone, of physical energy, fleshly energy, is not going to be useful to God unless there's brokenness, unless there's submission, unless God gets a hold of our hearts. Then we can make a difference. And so Paul is telling these people what makes a difference. Number one, what do people need that will really make a difference in their lives? Number one, they need someone to care enough to come to them. They need somebody to care enough to come to them. Look in verse number one. Paul says, And I, brethren, when I came to you. You know, the situation here was there were attacks being made against the Apostle Paul. There were people in the church that were cynical about Paul. Because maybe because he wasn't one of the original disciples, or maybe because of his stature, or maybe because his physical appearance even, there were people that attacked that. But they attacked the Apostle Paul. They attacked his character as a man of God. They attacked his message, the gospel of grace. And I tell you, nothing hurts a pastor or a missionary more than to have his character, his ministry attacked, brought under attack like that. It breaks our hearts. But then we have to realize the Lord Jesus went through the same thing. Yeah, we just sang about it in Christ Alone, the song that we sang, that He came to die for those who scorned Him. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Right? And Isaiah 53 tells us that he is despised and rejected of men. Why did He come? Because He loves us. And because His Father loves us. And His Father sent Him to come. What is going to make a difference in Bridgeport and Fairmont and in the other areas around us? What's going to make a difference? Do you care enough to go to people? Let me ask you this. I'm not trying to put some guilt trip on you. I just want you to think. When's the last time that you cared enough to spend time with somebody? Maybe somebody in the grocery store. Maybe somebody at your job. Maybe you went to a nursing home and you spent time with some elderly person that never gets visitors. When's the last time that you cared enough to really just spend time with them and to show them that you care? And that's what the Apostle Paul was saying. Is I didn't have much to offer, but I did come. I did come because I care about you. God loved you so much that He sent His only Son to pay for your sins because He cared, because He loved you. And I realized that this morning, I can't in of myself have that same love and that same compassion that God has unless He puts that in my heart. And so as I submit to Him and I say, God, I don't love these people like You love them. God, would You put Your love in my heart? You know what? He'll do that. He'll do that. And I can tell you from experience that after going to a place where they don't want me, going and speaking to people that don't want to hear me, they really don't care about who Jesus is. I'm day after day, and it's easy to get discouraged when you're talking to people who don't care. But I realize that I need to care. because my Father cares. And I realize that my motivation should not be to try to get something back from them. And the reason why I go to them, it should not be because I love them necessarily. But it should be because I love God. And if you love God this morning, then you'll care enough to go and to tell. That's what the Apostle Paul was saying. I cared enough to go. They may never show appreciation, but that's not the reason why we do it. Shouldn't be the reason. And we're sure not going to make a difference by alienating ourselves. You know, some people believe that, I remember that old song, Build an Ark. You ever heard that song? I heard that song when we were, one day anyway, Build an Ark, Head Out for the Open Waters. I think that was the name of the song. And that's the song was like, this world's going to hell, and I just want to build an ark and get away, you know. Maybe I misunderstood the song, but I'm thinking, you know, this is terrible. Alienating yourself from this world is not pleasing to God. God sent you to this world. And what we're to be is light in this world. But do we care enough? Do you care enough about people? Number two. They need somebody determined enough to declare to them the truth. They need somebody determined enough to declare to them the truth. Look at verse number 1 and 2. He said, declaring unto you, the last part of that verse, I came declaring unto you the testimony of God. Verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, the Apostle Paul was determined. And his determination helped him to stay focused in declaring the truth, what is really going to make a difference. And as we ask that question, what's going to make a difference in this life, in this community, at this time, I'll tell you what's going to make a difference. The same thing that made a difference in Paul's day. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What's going to make a difference in Nepal? It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the only thing, that's the only way that men are going to be saved from their sins. And we can't go out there and entertain people. You bring people in here by entertainment, then you've got to keep them by entertainment. You bring people in here to tickle their ears, then you're going to have to keep them that way. It's the truth that changes men's hearts. And we have to determine when we're living our Christian life that we give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't mean that we just go from door to door and say, well, you're going to hell. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. I don't mean that. Build relationships with people. Care enough to spend time with people, but determine enough to direct that message. And don't look at the color of their skin. And don't look at how poor they are or how rich they are. Don't look at their education. Don't concern yourself with those things. That's all the outward appearance. All of us need God's grace. And Jesus Christ paid for the sins of every man, every person on this earth. And so they need it just like you need it. They need to hear the gospel just like you did. Aren't you glad somebody cared enough to come to you, to tell you, and they determined enough to tell you how to be saved? Amen. I'm glad that somebody prayed for me. I'm glad that somebody came to me. And we're not here to make people religious. We're not here to change their religion. We're here to give them a relationship. To give them the message that they can have a relationship with the Almighty God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And we're not here to have some intellectual debate. We're not here to glory in the flesh. We're here to declare Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And you know what? That takes determination. As a church, it's going to take determination because it's so tempting to go in a direction that will bring in more people. It's so tempting to go that direction. And I've seen it, Pastor. I've seen it. I've been in a lot of churches as a missionary. And churches that began to support us when we first started raising our support. I've got two or three churches now that they have gone in that direction. And they have shifted their focus from the gospel of Jesus Christ, from Jesus Christ and Him crucified, to today's modern, you know, get them how you can, and corporate Christianity and all that junk. Determine, as a church, the only thing that can save is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through the gospel. Paul said, it wasn't through his eloquent speech. It wasn't through his enticing words. It wasn't through empty and religious jargon. It wasn't through some hidden wisdom. He just spoke plainly to them. He came among them and gave them the simple truth of the gospel. And it made a difference. And Paul told the Galatians in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. How can I make a difference in this life? Do you care enough to come to people? And number two, are you determined enough to declare the truth? Number three, and we'll finish with this, are you real enough to relate to them in their fears and in their weaknesses? Are you real enough with people to relate to them in their fears and in their weaknesses? Look at verse number 3. The Apostle Paul, probably the greatest missionary that ever lived, that we have an example of, this is what he said. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Oh, wow. If that's the situation with the Apostle Paul, then I don't feel so bad when I get scared to death to stand up in front of people. I don't feel so bad when I come to the place where I don't know what I'm doing. Sometimes, have you ever been like that? Where you're like, what am I doing? I have no idea what I'm doing. It's okay. It's all right for people to see that you're also weak. And you can relate with people through that weakness. You know, that's what the Apostle Paul was saying. I didn't come in here as Jesus Christ. I didn't, you know, come in here as the one that should be the object of your worship. No, I was just like you. And if you read the situation in Acts 18, when Paul came to Corinth, he got a job. He joined up with another man, and he started working as a tent maker, didn't he? Right there in Corinth. And he began sharing the gospel with people. They didn't really like it. It wasn't popular. It was discouraging. Corinth was sin city. But he didn't write them off. He didn't say, forget these people. They don't want to hear. They don't care. You see, Paul didn't come for them. Paul came for the Lord. Because God sent him. And the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Paul. And he told him, he said, don't fear, but preach. For I have much people in this city. You see, the Lord Jesus already knew who He was going to save. He already knew who was going to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Because God knows everything. And He already knows who in this community are ready. There are people in this community, they're ready. They're ripe for the picking. And if you are obedient, God will send you to those people. Now, you may come across 100 people leading to that person who don't want to hear, they don't care, their hearts are hardened, they don't have any desire. It's okay. Just trust God. He'll lead you to that person who does want to hear. But be real with them. Be real. Be a human being. Don't act all holy and all, you know, separated and all that. Be real with them. No, we should be separated, okay? Please don't get me wrong. We should be a separate people. We should be holy. But they need to know that we're weak, just like everybody else. And when the earthquake happened in 2015, God God used that time to show us as weak. When that building started shaking, you know what I did? I didn't say, okay, let's quickly exit. I didn't go after the children and try to save them. You know what I did? I just got down on my hands and knees like this. And I said, we're all going to die. And I looked over at Lebby Isahak, and they had like this little cushion in between them, and they were hugging each other. I mean, the building is doing this. We thought we were going down. We thought, this is it. And the days after that, people saw, we're right in the mix of it just like them. We're suffering. And it's hard. I'm not telling you something, I'm trying to glory in the flesh. I'm just telling you, God can use things in your life. There are people that suffer with cancer and they get bitter against God. Okay, you can get bitter against God, or you can say, God, you have something for me through this. I don't know what it is. My mom, she died with cancer, and I didn't realize until the funeral the number of people that she reached with the gospel of Christ, because she was weak. She just gave herself. And people would come to me, and I don't even know who they are, and they would say, your mother was a great witness to me. And now I'm saved because of her. It's okay to be weak. God does not call a lot of strong. Look with me in chapter number 1. Verse number 26, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, raise your hand. That's us, right? Not many mighty, raise your hand. That's us. Not many noble, well, that's definitely us. We're a bunch of rednecks. Not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Now here's the point, verse number 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Verse 30, but of Him, of who? Of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's why you're here. It's for His glory, not for your own. And if you want to make a difference in this life, you need to care enough to come to people. And it may not be in the limelight, may not look all that great, may not say all the right things. It's okay. Just care enough. And if you don't care, say, God, I need a heart. I need you to give me a heart that cares enough to tell people. And determine in your heart. Determine that that's the main thing is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And then be real with people. And don't be afraid to be human. Because God is not looking for big shots. God is not saving and using a lot of rich and a lot of religious people. God is looking for broken vessels. We have in this earthen vessel the great treasure of the gospel of grace. And our vessel is not worth very much, but God's treasure that dwells in us is worth the blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Christ. It's worth a lot. What are we going to do with it? It's during our weakest times that people get a glimpse of our humanity. They see how vulnerable we are. They see the genuineness of our hearts. And that's when God can make a difference through you and I. So now I ask you, what are you going to do? What about you? Are you willing to make a difference in this life? I'd like you to bow your heads, if you would, and close your eyes. I'm going to ask Pastor and I'm going to ask the musician to come up as they're coming. You know, when our lives don't point to us, and when our mouths don't glory in us, when our schedules don't focus on us, then people are going to see that we're real. They're going to see that we care. They're going to notice our conviction. They're going to see our determination. And they're going to look at the one that God really wants to be the focus, and that's Jesus Christ. So what about it? Do you want to make a difference in this life? You say, I'm scared. That's okay, so am I. So was the Apostle Paul. And that's natural. You say, well, I'm busy. Yes, you're too busy. And you need to sacrifice your time and give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ to use for His glory. What are you willing to do? Father, please take the words and use them for Your glory. And Lord, I pray that You would work in our hearts and make us better vessels for You. In Jesus' name, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. If You're God's working.